Mix 104.9's 360, The Week That Was. For De Silva Hebron, your local lawyers.
Well, it is time for The Week That Was, now proudly brought to you by De Silva Hebron, your local lawyers. A big hello to Dave, obviously. Pleased to have him on board. And joining us in the studio this morning, the opposition leader, Leah Finocchiaro. Good morning.
Good morning. Happy Friday.
Oh, how good is Friday? Woo! We've got Kezia Purick, the member for Goyder. Good morning.
Oh, good morning. We've just finished 2 weeks of Parliament sitting. That's 2 weeks. So I won't get back in my life.
Or anyone like me who tuned in to listen. And Selena Rubo.
Already poor staffers.
Selena Rubo, the Attorney General. Good morning.
Good morning, Katie, and very good morning to your listeners
now,
today.
I might actually go first to the fact that we do know overnight that Jilk Mingan had to be evacuated overnight, fully evacuated as I understand it. All residents have been safely transferred to temporary accommodation in Mataranka, following on from flooding in the community. Selena, I know that this falls under your electorate, as I understand it, but everybody's out safely?
Everyone's out safely, Katie. I got the latest update at about 8.30. It's been a successful evacuation. Started at 5 o'clock yesterday, was completed by 8.30 last night. Everyone, just over 200 people from the Jilk Mingan community have been evacuated to Mataranka. Big thanks to, of course, the emergency services, but also the Mataranka community. They put on a barbecue. Oh, the grocery store donated the meat for the barbecue for the hall for all the residents at quick notice. And it was probably quite a long night for all the residents and the supporters there and the emergency service operations. Yeah. But a big thank you. That's been a successful evacuation.
I reckon it would have been.
It's very timely. I mean, obviously, we've had a lot of wet weather. Ian Sloan, our member for Daly, obviously people in the Daly region are also very concerned at the moment, as probably are some people in Katherine. But the member for Daly, Ian Sloan, introduced a motion during Parliament that government re-look at those emergency shelters and evacuations for people in remote areas when it comes to flooding, because it's very important. And we certainly know out in the Daly, for example, yeah, they don't have a secure shelter. Area. They don't have a community shelter. So we're calling on government to revisit that.
Actually, that's a good point, Leah. But, with these communities are going to flood all the time into the future when we get a big wet season like we've got this year. And I recall that they did talk about a community hall at Daly River Way under Gary Higgins when he was the member. But I think it's a good motion because Jilk Mingan's one of them. You know, we know people
there's
around
a number.
The Roper, you know, Katherine, of course, but Katherine's a bigger town. But
Beswick,
it's those smaller communities, you know, Peppermanadi, Palumpa, those kind of areas. So we do need to make sure that we've got the sufficient facilities if a big lot of people have to be evacuated.
Yeah, 100%.
Like, even if they have to come to Darwin, like they do often with Daly, they come and stay at the Fosse Pavilion at the showgrounds.
Yeah.
But it might be, you know, if sufficient planning and infrastructure, they can stay within their own community areas.
Exactly.
Well, let's move along, because I tell you what, it's been an incredibly big week, and the story that's dominated the headlines, well, for the last 2 weeks, is that of Blaine MLA, Mark Turner. He's going to find out now if he is guilty of misleading Parliament later this year. The government sided with the CLP to have the matter investigated by the Parliament's Privileges Committee. The CLP alleged that Mr Turner misled Parliament during his speech to Parliament last week. It's also alleged that Mr Turner failed to disclose he had a physical relationship with the woman at the centre of the scandal, and only noted in his speech that they'd exchanged general conversation, banter, jokes and some intimate conversation. Now, you would have heard on the show earlier in the week, Chief Minister Michael Gunner admitted that he assisted the MLA in writing the speech, but says that the MLA made changes before delivering it. If you missed that interview, take a listen to what the Chief Minister had to say.
I said, mate, you need to make a statement now, and based off everything you've been telling me all the way through this, you need to deny. We sat down that night, and about half hour before he went and delivered the statement, he made some changes to the statement.
So you sat down with him?
Repeatedly that day, and I said to him, the only way through this, Member Blaine, is brutal honesty, like embarrassing honesty. You have to be completely upfront, and you're going to go on the floor of Parliament. You cannot mislead the floor of Parliament. Just before we went into the chamber to give the statement, he made, in my opinion, were material changes to the statement.
So you reckon he's changed it after speaking to you?
I physically saw it, the changes. The statement that I saw and then the statement that he gave, he made a material change. That was late on the Wednesday night. I slept on that on the Wednesday night. I came in Thursday morning very angry, as did most of my team. This is now a substantive change to the story. So it went from being a very strong statement to not being a very strong statement.
I don't think it was ever a very strong statement, if I'm honest, because I think the majority of Territorians actually had been reading the paper and listening to this show throughout the week and really thought that there was more to this than what you did. And that's what I'm really struggling to understand at this point.
I think it's really important to trust your teammates. And I did up to the point in time where he changed his story.
Well, I tell you what, it certainly, like I said, caused some major issues for the Northern Territory government. Selena, what was your reaction when you heard the member for Blaine deliver that speech in Parliament last week?
Well, Katie, of course, very disappointed because in the days in the lead up to the statement that was made by the member for Blaine on that Wednesday evening last week, there had been absolute denial of anything further than interactions in regards to a friendship. This was asked blatantly, very forwardly, and it was denied categorically by the member for Blaine. Echoing what the chief said, you've got to trust your teammates that they're telling you the truth. And then when there's a statement made that goes against what someone has said to you for the last 3 days, we were pretty angry as a caucus, I can tell you that, Katie.
Yeah, I would have been. I would have been absolutely mortified. But I guess the thing is, I said it to the chief minister and I'll say it again, what I find quite strange is that everybody in the Northern Territory seemed to, know what was going on, but the only people who were surprised were the government.
Well, yes. Katie, I've got a couple of thoughts on this whole matter. One is that, first and foremost, we must always remember that this person is a person, first and foremost.
I agree.
And he's got family, he's got children, he's got a wife, he's got other family, presumably, he's got close friends. So I think we must always have that at the front of our thinking. The second thing is, yes, I believe he's made a mistake in life and he will pay for that mistake in one way or the other. You know, difficulties in his home life, et cetera, et cetera. You know, he's got to do a lot of explanation and hard work in his electorate to regain perhaps the trust of people. But when you look at the fact of whether a person has misled Parliament or not, you have to, and this is what the Privilege Committee will do in their deliberations and work, is did he really intend to mislead Parliament? And I can't answer that question, and I don't think any of us can answer that question, but that's what's going to have to be asked through the Privileges Committee. And there was some incorrect information circulating about how this Privilege Committee works or doesn't work. And the member for Blaine, Mark Turner, will have ample opportunity during the committee's deliberations to put forward his case, as will other people who appear before that committee. And it's just like a court. So if anyone gets pulled before that committee, remember, they can be subpoenaed to appear. They can't refuse to appear.
Kezia, did you vote, and is that why you didn't?
I didn't vote because, quite simply, it is not my fight. My constituents are more concerned about the spike in crime in the rural area. We've had, even last night down at Elizabeth Valley, we've had some break-ins into properties and also across in another area in Humpty Doo.
Look, that's I totally agree with that. But I actually think people want, they want representatives in Parliament who they feel are being honest. And I think that's the question really at the centre of this at the moment, even with it going to privileges. And, Leah, I'll let you say your bit because you obviously understand better than I why you guys put this motion forward.
Yeah, and I think the Chief Minister's comments on radio that morning, I mean, he's helped the member for Blaine draft a speech, a very political, insincere speech. Then the Chief Minister admits that he has seen the material changes made to this speech, but let the member for Blaine still walk into the Parliament and give that speech. I think we've seen a lot of backpedalling from the Chief Minister.
Correct.
After, 10 days of cover-up and obfuscation and all these other
things. There's absolutely been no cover-up. We have been gaining information day by day.
Well, there's been no investigation. You know, people have been calling on the Chief Minister to conduct investigation, clear the air. None of that has happened at all.
I don't see how, though, Leah, we would need to conduct an investigation into a private affair.
Honestly, I do not see how the government wouldn't at this point in time.
Which was brought up, yes, and we absolutely support it because it goes to another level that if there was intentional misleading of Parliament, then that needs to be dealt with, as Kezia has said. But in the lead up for the last, you know, 10 or so days, this was about a private affair. And yes,
but
the public absolutely
expects
the best
from us. But it's not the only part of the issue here. With respect, Attorney General, it's not the only part of this issue. And if you guys think that that's the only part of this issue, if you think your only concern here is about an extramarital affair, I think it goes to the heart of how poorly it's been managed.
It is now about the process, but the member for Blaine was not honest.
It's not only about the process, it's also about the other concerns with staff. It's also about the other concerns with staff and the calls for, you know, for testing, for drug testing to be done and other concerns. I feel as though Labor has buried their heads in the sand over this issue over the last 7 days. And I actually think if the Chief Minister had have come out, not the Monday just gone, but the one before, and answered the questions that he did, you wouldn't have such egg on your faces.
It was ridiculous.
There was no information to the other effect by that.
Because
Monday,
you didn't
Katie.
Investigate it. That's, you didn't investigate
was.
It. It's
there had actually been emails sent through. And for the Chief Minister to say that there's a concern with the server, honestly, I think everyone in the Northern Territory is laughing about it.
Server, the NT government I haven't worked for any other state governments, but it would have to be the best bloody server in the country. I mean, it's just so many firewalls and it's perfect.
It lacks credibility. It lacks
nonsense.
Integrity.
Look,
it's total nonsense.
You know, and honestly, I want to say, Selena, I didn't bring you in here to, you know, to bang you up about this because, honestly, it's a whole-of-government thing. And the Chief Minister, obviously, to his credit on Monday, came on and spoke about this. But it goes, you know, like, for me, there's a lot of people in the community. I've not, you know, I honestly am not getting any phone calls, any messages to the show at the moment saying to me, you guys are being really unfair towards the government about this. People are saying, I can't believe the government's not actually taking further action. I can't believe they're not doing their own investigation to try and determine exactly what's gone on here. You know, it leads to, you know, people asking questions about where's the transparency and where's the accountability.
Yeah. And it doesn't stack up. I mean, the information the Chief has come out with doesn't stack up. On Wednesday morning, we heard on two different radio stations, one of them being yours, Katie, from the woman at the centre of the scandal. And that information came out, was pretty clear around the nature of relationship and other things. And then that very night, we have the member for Blaine giving his statement to the Parliament, which the Chief Minister helped him write, but then says he materially changed. Did the Chief Minister not tune into the two radio stations and not know that information? I mean, it just doesn't stack up. The timeline doesn't make sense. You know, we've got numbers like his office knew the information on the 2nd of February, then the
Someone
server went
it.
Down and all this other stuff. It's just ridiculous. So, and then to clear the air, you know, we've said, well, why don't we implement random drug testing on the in Parliament House, not just the fifth floor, across Parliament House, my office, every office, and of members of Parliament, clear the air, restore some integrity, because ultimately this is a very dark cloud hanging over the government and over the Parliament, and we need to restore confidence in Territorians. And for the government to come out and say, oh, well, it's okay to randomly drug test police but not us, just has people asking even more questions.
Okay, Katie, when we were talking about, you know, the question and what Lee has just mentioned in regards to testing of police officer, that was a question that was put, and police officers do carry a duty in regards to dangerous weaponry when they are carrying their guns. So in regards to that, it's just like mining companies randomly drug and alcohol test their workers with heavier machinery.
Everybody understands
talking about that level of responsibility. But what Lee is doing is she's dragging it into something else and using it as a political tool.
Well, the Northern Territory Police Association came out and said it was an unacceptable double standard. So
what I want to ask, though, is does everybody in this room accept that the responsibility on the shoulders of absolutely everybody who works in Parliament House is incredibly important, given the fact that you guys are writing, putting together legislation which impacts every Territorian?
Yep. Katie, look.
Absolutely.
Because, I mean, to me, that's actually just as important as carrying a handgun or driving a truck.
Yep. Oh, look, I personally don't have an issue with drug testing of myself because I don't take drugs and never have, never will. But it's a bit of a knee-jerk reaction in my view because there's a couple of things. If the Chief Minister wants to have drug testing on the fifth floor of himself and his staff and his members of his team, fine. But you just can't do a blanket drug testing across Parliament because...
Why don't you do random testing?
No, no, hang on, let me finish. Because that responsibility rests with the Speaker. The Speaker is the presiding officer of that building. There's lots of different agencies in that building. You've got the NT Library, one department. You've got Parliamentary Council, another department. You've got Department of Legislative Assembly. So if you're going to introduce some kind of random alcohol and drug testing into the building, you're going to have policies. You're going to have policies that go before you. You're going to have well-structured policies. As it took the mining industry the best part of 5 years to get their drug and alcohol testing in place
but
across
you guys,
the country.
Your business is policy. So yeah, I don't understand.
We should start
so
the conversation. I mean, we've put a motion forward so that we can debate it next sittings, and that conversation should be had about how we do it.
It would rest with the Speaker and the Speaker's office as to a way forward if that's what the members wanted to do. But remember, the Speaker's the presiding officer. And if the motion passes or it's the will of the Assembly that we go down the path of drug and alcohol testing in that precinct, well, fine.
I'll just read you out a line from the Police Association, Paul McHugh. Yesterday he was on the show, but he said, surely they want to set an example as leaders and be accountable and hold themselves to the same high standards when it comes to illicit drugs.
Agree. Agree.
Don't have a problem with it.
We agree.
No, I mean, illicit drugs, the key word is illicit. You know, they're illegal drugs. If you're taking illegal drugs, and people should be held accountable because it can impair judgment, it can impair your physical capabilities to drive a car or machinery or whatever.
Yep.
You know, but it's, I don't have an issue with it, but I think we should debate it in the House if that's what the CMP wants to do.
Yep.
And
in March.
And if it passes, fine, it's the will of the Parliament. But as I said, you just can't go and say, oh, everyone in that building should be drug tested, because it's not that simple, as I just highlighted.
Again, I think that everybody's assuming that Territorians are stupid. We all understand that you can't just come in the next day and say everybody's getting random drug tested.
That's what I'm saying.
We all understand that there's got to be processes.
The process of Parliament is, I think, what Kezia is trying to highlight in that sense. It's not a blanket tick. There are other areas that need to be considered.
I think the problem is the Chief Minister ruled it out immediately. He didn't say, oh, yeah, we'd have to debate it, or he didn't say, oh, we'd have to work through it, or he didn't say, oh, it's a bit complicated. He just said no. Katie, another, you know, big point that came out of this week, not only that the Privileges Committee will obviously determine whether or not there has been that misleading of Parliament, but the fact that the Gunner government haven't said that the member for Blaine should resign and hold the member for Blaine to the very high standard that the Chief Minister has held previous members of Parliament. You know, that fundamental breach of community standard, that unparliamentary behaviour. So, you know, we're seeing some very strange activity happening on the benches opposite.
I've pointed this out so many times throughout the week. There are some amazing people who work inside Parliament House. I know I'm privileged to know plenty of them, whether you're talking about politicians, whether you're talking about staffers. But I've got to say, I tell you what, Selena, feel free to not answer this if you want to, but, you know, for some of you ministers who work incredibly hard, you must have been pretty pissed off when this all unfolded.
Let me answer that. I'll answer it for you, Minister. It was on the front page of a newspaper for 7 days in a row.
11.
That is 11. That is a public relations disaster
for
government.
I can definitely say, in terms of the disappointment, not just for myself but our whole team, of losing the trust of a team member, you know, that's a pretty hard thing to go through. But particularly when many of us have very pressing concerns, as Kezia said, issues in our electorates. For example, 200-plus of my constituents have been evacuating, can't return to their home because of flooding, and there's other areas of government work that we want to get on and obviously serve Territorians, which is what we're all elected to do. And to the point that Leah made about calling for someone to resign, someone was elected by the people of Blaine. It is their elected member. It is their democratic right to have an elected member. If the member for Blaine can no longer serve in that duty, that is an issue that the member for Blaine must absolutely consider. It is not for government to then pull the voice of 5,500
people.
It is up to
the
voters.
How long is that? Do you think his electoral office is going to be closed for?
Katie, his electoral office is closed because of legitimate painting. It is getting a refurb after the last member for Blaine, and there has been some issues, as I understand, with the contractor who was contracted to do that painting of the interior walls,
yep.
and it hasn't been good, I'm told.
I guess what I'm getting to is, even this week, though, we've had a situation. My understanding is where he's obviously turned up for Parliament, for a small amount of Parliament in the morning, mm-hmm. And then left. I think if you're talking about representing the people of Blaine, they would expect their member to be in Parliament. We all understand that this is an incredibly difficult family situation, but it's not a situation of his electorate's making.
And he campaigned on those family and religious values and the hero cop. I mean, you can't put yourself out as being all of those things and then everything that's unfolded over the last 12 days take place and bury your head in the sand. You know, your government, Selena, talks about giving the people of Blaine the chance to elect the person they think best represents their values. Well, by not, denouncing the member for Blaine, you're condemning them to 3 more years under that leadership. I mean, it's not acceptable.
In the election, Leah, and yeah, the based people on of Blaine, on a the false, majority a false was promise. With the current member, and it actually is a huge responsibility. That current member now needs to see if they can actually do the job and reflect and serve the people of Blaine. It is up to that member and the people that he has been elected to represent.
Do you agree it's a double standard with the previous instances where the Chief Minister said it was a fundamental breach of community standard and unparliamentary and the member should resign?
I'm not going to comment on the past.
I mean, he's
I'm
happy to do it when he was in opposition. Right, he's not happy now. To do it now as a Chief Minister.
We're going to have to take a very short break.
360's The Week That Was. Thanks to DeSilva Hebron, your local lawyers.
You are listening to The Week That Was, and we are now also broadcasting in Alice Springs on 8HA. And speaking of Alice Springs, we do know that Strike Force Viper has arrested 3 youth in relation to a robbery in Alice Springs earlier in the week. Investigations indicate that at about midday, an 87-year-old woman was walking in a shopping centre on Hartley Street when she was allegedly pushed to the ground by a group of females. The females stole the woman's handbag before fleeing the scene on foot towards the post office car park. Unfortunately, that's not the only one. We also know that there was a 72-year-old woman who was getting in her car when she was approached by 2 female youths who asked for a lift. The woman attempted to close the door when it's alleged one of those youths tried to get in the vehicle and the other reached past and attempted to grab her handbag. As well as that, 2 youth were arrested earlier in the week, again, after the robbery of a 79-year-old man in the Todd Mall. Now, a group of youth approached 2 men sitting outside a cafe when it's alleged a 13-year-old female snatched a packet of tobacco from the table. The 79-year-old man attempted to stop the youth by grabbing her arm, which resulted in the man being pulled from his chair and onto the ground. We also, I've heard on ABC News this morning that they have had police on there, on ABC Alice, I believe, saying that, people need to be vigilant when they're at the ATMs because obviously youths are targeting people. I also see that Sue Shearer from COTA mm-hmm. is encouraging seniors to,
to stay in pairs.
Yeah.
I mean, this is... I'm so exasperated by this issue, Katie, as our Territorians. We tried so many times in Parliament this week to raise the issue of crime. We ran a censure against the government for their failure to keep Territorians safe. They wouldn't even let us debate it. They just discarded it like a piece of rubbish thrown in the bin. I mean, for COTA to have to come out and say seniors should walk around in pairs is an absolute indictment on what is going on with crime in our community at the moment. The fact that our most vulnerable are being targeted, and yet we have the government continue not to recognise that bail is a huge part of this story. Not the only part, but a huge part. I mean, when 75% of youth offenders arrested by Strike Force Viper are repeat offenders, and when 50% of all youth in the Territory last year who were arrested were already on bail at the time of their arrest, sends a very clear picture about where a huge part of the problem is. And this government we spent a whole week in Parliament. The government did not bring a single thing when it comes to bail reform, not a single thing. And we've had mixed messages where the Chief Minister comes out and says bail's not the problem. The Police Minister says something different. Selena, we asked you in question time earlier in the week, are you reviewing bail? And you gave some garbled answer about how we're always reviewing bail, blah, 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 blah. It's all talk. People are fed up with this and they need action immediately.
Is bail tell the answer here, do you think,
Selena?
It's part of it.
It's not the... Oh, sorry, Selena. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Right. We recognise it's a huge part of it.
That was not Selena's voice, if anyone was wondering.
No, obviously, Katie, this is an absolutely serious issue, and all of the stories and incidents you've just recalled, absolutely disgusting behaviour. It is abhorrent behaviour. It is not behaviour at all that is supported. We know that any crime experienced by Territorians is unacceptable, and not feeling safe in your community is absolutely unacceptable, Katie. So for Leah to say that it's not an issue for the government, it absolutely
is an
issue
about
for the
it?
Government.
But well, tell, explain, I will say, explain it.
We are working on what the actions are, not just the talk. We don't have to debate an issue to know it's an issue, Katie. We absolutely recognise, and we are already doing work in this space. Admittedly, of course, there is much more work to be done. We don't have any simple solutions. There are many complex issues, and we have talked at length over the last 2 weeks in this Parliament. Leah doesn't like to listen when we are in Parliament, but we absolutely recognise, particularly in Alice Springs, Katie, the complexities, some of the family issues that also in regards to young people who are committing these crimes. The causation of crime is really what we need to get to the root of. What are the processes and programs that are around to be able to support young people and their families if there is a breakdown in regards to family responsibility and guardianship. That is absolutely at the front and centre of what we're trying to do in terms of actions. And absolutely, resourcing our police is a priority. And we've heard the police minister speak about this numerous times in visits to Alice Springs. The Minister for Territory Families visiting and spending time in Alice Springs, going on those youth patrols with staff.
It's all
and
resulting
in
nothing, Selena. I asked the police minister yesterday, when is the Darwin Watch House going to be open? And again, she gave a garbled answer and basically said, when it reopens, it's going to be part-time. They're just going to pick the peak hours. Now, the whole reason the Palmerston Police station was built was so that we had two watch houses so that police weren't spending all that time travelling to process an arrest. We need our police to
and
be able to do that quickly
Leah.
And get
you,
back on the road.
You're
100%
that?
It's about resourcing
exactly,
because your government has
work.
Failed to have
so
continuous police
what
recruitment.
What do I want to know the answer to right now? Because I know the people of Alice Springs. All right, so I know the people of Alice Springs who are listening today will be thinking to themselves, what is going to be happening immediately to ensure that seniors who live in Alice Springs can go to an ATM without being knocked over and having their wallet stolen?
Yeah, I'd love to know the answer too. Selena, have you got an answer for that?
They're going to have to, the bank or someone would probably have to put a security officer.
That's insane.
Right next to, I know.
It is insane.
Katie,
but Parcham has been moved out of the mall.
Territorians are already vulnerable Territorians, and it is absolutely disgusting that senior Territorians would ever be targeted, particularly when we're talking about the issues that are being discussed today. We will be very happy to continue taking advice and working with some of those very strong and productive organisations such as CODA, and I recognise you quoted Sue there.
Yep.
She's an absolutely strong advocate in CODA and working with, so we can ensure that there is safety for all Territorians, but particularly our most vulnerable Territorians, including seniors.
So, I mean, again, talking about really... You know, aside from saying the police are going to be out on the streets monitoring this, what is going to happen in Alice Springs to try and stop this sort of thing from happening? Because at the moment, you know, if what I'm being told by people who live there and have lived there for an awfully long time, and what I'm reading, you know, even from police press releases, not to mention what's going on in social media, you know, from what I'm reading, it seems as though we've got a real issue right now in Alice Springs with groups of teenagers who are doing the wrong thing and are not concerned
gangs.
About the consequence.
Gangs,
it's
Katie.
Under siege. The town is under siege. I mean, we had Josh Burgoyne, our member for Breitling, recounted some terrible stories in the debate we brought on crime last night, including an alleged rock throwing at police, which Josh had yet to verify. But the stories coming out are horrific and more needs to be done. Our police are stretched to the limits. They're being pulled out of the top end to go down and support each other in Central Australia, and that just leaves holes up here. You know, it's a really sad situation. We've got more police leaving the force than ever before. I mean, our attrition numbers are enormous. It's a really scary situation, and if people don't feel safe, they'll move. We know our tourism industry in Central Australia, their number one concern when they talk to us is not COVID, it's not the economy, it's crime.
Crime in the town.
And it is a big concern, and this this is what I'm trying to sort of get to. And you know, throughout the week, I know not everybody listens to Question Time, and I always say to my listeners, I listen to Question Time so they don't have to. Because let's be honest, I think most normal punters don't want to be listening to Question Time. But, you know, I was actually really annoyed to hear when there were questions being asked about crime. You know, there was a real insinuation from the government that the opposition and the independents were being negative Nellies and that, you know,
quote
you're talking the territory down. And, you know, at the moment, I think that that's actually offensive to everyday Territorians who are really worried about this. And it's not just that they're really worried. You know, if my mum went to the ATM and got bloody knocked over and had her purse stolen, I would not want her to live there anymore.
I would personally go out and find the perpetrators if anyone did anything to my family members. And I know that's not what you meant to say, but that's the honesty of
it,
you know. And it's like, you know, a little bit of bush justice, so to speak. But, you know,
We don't want it to get to that.
And this is where the government has to do something different.
And we do it, and I go to Kezia's point, you know, when it becomes personal, it absolutely is a huge concern. But when you're hearing these stories, when you know that people are living and breathing these stories, it is absolutely a huge concern, and it is a priority for us as a government to ensure. If it was simple, Katie, we would have done it already.
Why are you digging your heels in on bail reform? If 50% of
I'm talking about, and again, I know you don't like listening when people speak, but I will say we really need to get to the root causes, the causation
of why these young people...
It's work that's underway. As I said,
so
it's
everyone just has to wait.
No, not just waiting. So we're talking about the complexity. There are, again, going to the stories, there are young people or those people who are committing those crimes who have stories behind them. We need to find out what those stories are. What are the causes of this crime? Why are young people...
But, you know, the only people putting up suggestions are the opposition and the independents. You know, the member for Araluen ran a motion in Parliament earlier this week saying whether or not there should be beds at the 24/7 Alice Springs youth shelter that they've established under pressure, again, from the opposition and independent members to do something. So the members in Alice Springs were all very happy when the youth shelter was said that the government was going to try it. But again, we just had the, you know, Kate Warden stand up in Parliament and just knock the member for Araluen down for even suggesting that there should be beds in that facility. I mean, I know my team, Bill Yen and Josh Burgoyne, I know Robin and others, everyone's trying to just come up with something. Let's try this. What about that? They're listening to the community and their views on what needs to be done, but the government don't want to hear it.
Selena, are we at a point? I mean, as the Attorney General, is it something that you do want to look at, the bail and whether we do need to make some change in this space?
We will be looking at this. Absolutely, Katie. We will be looking at this. We've just completed the draft of the Aboriginal Justice Agreement, which is one of the key areas that is recommended to review is the Bail Act. So looking at that, this is an area that we need to work on. Again, it's a complex area. There's no quick fix solution, but it is work that we need to start and need to continue to work on in regards to what are the reflections of what we need in terms of contemporary legislation that really reflects what we need in our community and making sure that our legislation reflects that. So again, it's not something we're shirking. This is a body of work we are very much underway and looking at, but in terms of the needs of our communities, that's what we'll continue to look at and develop further.
360 is the week that was. Thanks to DaSilva Hebron, your local lawyers.
Gee, it is a busy morning this morning, and I can't even get them to be quiet during the breaks this morning. Leah Finocchiaro, Kezia Puric and Selena Rubo. And let's talk about this alcohol blitz which is taking place. Police officers are going to be outside some bottle shops around the Top End or Darwin. There's going to be patrolling at some of our known antisocial behaviour hotspots and an increased presence as a part of this lockdown. It started on Wednesday, lockdown, in terms of, you know, trying to work out, and I actually think this is a really good tact by the Territory Police, trying to work out exactly where they do need those resources, different areas of concern when it comes to some of our alcohol issues, because I've got to say, you know, over the last few days in particular, we've had quite a few people get in contact with us here at the station, but we had a man yesterday who lives along Freshwater Drive, I believe it's called, or along, you know,
in
near Jingalee, who said that they are experiencing absolutely terrible, you know, terrible antisocial behaviour at the moment. Park. We know that a woman actually, and there was actually a woman whose life was lost recently in that area. You know, at the end of the day, we've got to make sure that, you know, that people are safe, and we've got to make sure, and that goes for the whole community. But it's unacceptable then to have people, you know, drinking and really behaving badly, you know, no matter where you live and no matter where you are.
And it just, I can't understand why the government can't acknowledge that clearly its alcohol reform is not having the intended effect. I mean, alcohol assaults, I can't think of the numbers, but it was up around 20, maybe even 30% alcohol-fueled violence. All of those types of stats have gone through the roof. And, you know, yet we've got the BDR and we've got the minimum floor price on alcohol and all these other types of things. Clearly it's not having an impact. We know secondary supply
That's definitely incorrect. We've had a report and a review in regards to some of the alcohol reform and the implementation from the reform that we have undertaken as a Labor government. And just this year, the review had shown that there has been decreases in regard to alcohol-related assaults, particularly presentations in our emergency areas from particularly Darwin and Alice Springs as our two major centres. So, I mean, it's great for Leah to be peddling, you know, her perception, but there's also some research and some very strong independent research in this space.
There is. It's Menzies called the Crime Stats. You can bring it up on your phone right now, Selena, and I'm pretty sure it's going to tell you that alcohol-related harm is up.
This blanket result about alcohol-related harm. We've had
it's not a blanket result. It's called a crime statistic. The police published the data. It's actually your department that publishes the data, Selena. So you might want to get a briefing from your own department.
Again, Katie, it is not a quick fixed solution, and I think that's kind of what people are expecting, and we acknowledge that absolutely there has to be more work done in this space. But when we're talking about reform, we're talking about a period of time of change, transition, and where we can measure outcomes. And I think that's really important to remember.
I think what Territorians are finding frustrating at the moment is, actually, you know, some of the stuff that the government is doing is actually good stuff. You know, some of it is long-term change, and we're all hoping that that long-term change is felt down the track. We're all, you know, like really hoping that that's the case. But right now, you know, whether you're talking about youth crime or whether you're talking about some of the concerns that we've got with alcohol around the top end or wherever you are, there's not a stopgap. You know, there's not something there to try to really combat the issue right now. And that's where people are feeling really frustrated. And I think that we're going to find that, you know, if we don't make some change in this space, people are going to get frustrated to the point where they say, do I want to still be around?
It's a really challenging issue. Change, and Selena, just for your information, in case you forgot, alcohol-related assaults are up 23% in Darwin, 17% in Alice Springs, 54% in Tennant Creek, and 32% in Katherine. So clearly there is an issue there. We know that this government dismantled the rehabilitation program from the previous government. There's questions around whether what this government has implemented is effective. We know secondary supply has been such a huge issue that police have had to divert a lot of resources into secondary supply, of course, at a time when they're already completely under the pump on youth crime and COVID and a number of other issues. So the government needs to reflect. I mean, what about the people in the Barkly? I mean, they've been completely forgotten by this government. 2 years ago, they were promised an alcohol review. That didn't happen. Then we had this harebrained idea from the government to implement the BDR in pubs and clubs. Well, thank God that's been shut down. But, you know, it's just this, you know, it defies logic. The research you did a little while ago showed that Pally's are having a good impact in some parts of the territory. But again, minimum floor price is just moving people onto harder liquor away from those cheaper wines.
Yeah, I the bottle shops that are in the rural area, as best I can see, don't really experience too many problems at all. But I know that people have increased their purchases from over the border, and I was listening to someone in Tennant Creek region in particular, that they just go to Mount Isa and get the 4 litre.
We've heard the same.
Culgra Springs people can pop down to Cooper Pedy and get four litre casks, and I'm sure they could probably go over the border to WA and get 4 litre casks if that's what they want to do. And there was a story the other day about a woman who was picked up somewhere under the influence, but she had a stash of alcohol in her car heading for a community. So the rewards are usually worth the risk, and that's why people are doing this secondary supplies and grog running into communities. And the police probably only catch a small fraction of what's happening. But I know from the feedback I get that the floor price, I mean, yes, it has impact on some. It, you know, they burn through the money quicker. But then, as Leah said, they turn to stronger alcohol. If not, they go to those other substances,
yeah.
you know, which may have alcohol in them. I know some of the mouthwashes now don't have alcohol.
Yeah. And look,
but some of them still do have alcohol. So you're starting to move into a health arena, or, you know, people imbibing the lemon essence and the vanilla essence because they're exceptionally high alcohol content for, you know, the volume. So... And well, the other thing with all these the data and the stats, you've just got to look at behind them, you know, how they gathered it. Like you talk about alcohol-related assaults. I'd like to see stats from the hospital and the medical world as to the presentations of people who have been assaulted or hurt or injured from consumption or overconsumption of alcohol.
360 is the week that was. Thanks to Da Silva Hebron, your local lawyers.
Well, you are listening to The Week That Was, and this morning in the studio with me, Leah Finocchiaro, Kezia Purick and Selena Rubo. Now, I do just want to take you to another incident, or another issue, I should say, which was raised in Parliament throughout the week. It was actually raised by the member for Araluen, Robin Lambley, and it was moving a motion referring the Chief Minister to the Privileges Committee for breaching the Legislative Assembly Code of Conduct and Ethical Standards Act 2018 by banning the NT Independent from attending government press conferences and other media events and not allowing the Northern Territory Public Service to provide the NT Independent with information on request. Now, I've got to say that I know plenty of people have got differing opinions when it comes to, when it comes to this publication, and some have said, that it is owned, obviously, by Darwin businessman Owen Pike. Now, whether you like Owen or you don't, I think isn't the point when we talk about this. What we're talking about here is a well-respected journalist, obviously, and Chris Walsh, who is writing for the NT Independent. Now, my concern around this is if you start banning journalists from press conferences, where does it end? If I get to a point as a journalist where I really upset the government, is the Chief Minister going to stop coming on the show, or am I going to get banned from a press conference?
Probably.
I think it's a really fine line, and I think it's one that needs to be addressed. I know at different times, for whatever reason, the government's obviously made this decision, but I think it's time for them to reconsider.
The members of Parliament don't get to pick the press, such a fundamental part of our democracy is freedom of speech and freedom of the press. Now, in our code of conduct in the Parliament, it very clearly says I can't remember the exact wording, but basically support the freedom of the press and access of the media to members of Parliament and our interactions with them. But, of course, the Gunner government have gone to extreme lengths. I mean, I remember, was it last year or the year before, where apparently the Chief Minister was doing a press conference at the Wharf, and then Chris Walsh came to the press conference and they scurried to Parliament House so he couldn't get there. I mean, it's extraordinary. But what really got me yesterday was, of course, the member for Araluen moved the motion. She was about to launch into her speech in support of her motion. I was ready to jump as well to speak on behalf of the motion. And, Natasha Files, on behalf of the government, just got up and squashed it. She just put the motion. No one got to say anything. So we've got to a point where this government is so arrogant and so eager to shut down scrutiny that we can't even talk about things, let
the
alone
funny
vote
thing
on
is,
them.
Though, it's not everyone. There's some ministers that I have no issues with, obviously, getting on the show. Selena, you're here this morning. There's different, at different times it's not an issue, but I just think it's a really fine line that's being run at the moment. Like, we don't, it's up to Territorians to pick and choose who they get their news from. Some people will tune into my show every single morning from 9 o'clock, others will not. And that's a person's choice.
Yeah, absolutely.
But you can't stop people from having the opportunity to read from a publication that they choose or listen to a radio station that they choose. And that's,
right,
I think, the concern that I've got.
Katie, I think far be it for me to defend the government in their decision or the Chief Minister or, collectively if they made the decision, but when press conferences or media announcements are held within the parliamentary precinct, it's quite within the right of the government of the day and the opposition to invite the media, and they can be as selective as they like.
Mm.
And that decision should be defended as well, because that's their choice who they wish to have. Now, I've in the past, and probably could still happen, it was actually the CLP government. They chose some media outlets and didn't choose others, and like they choose Channel 9.
I've certainly not been invited to different things by both governments, and I'm pretty thick-skinned and broad-shouldered. I don't mind.
So for whatever reason or exclusivity, all that sort of stuff. So I think, not that I, you know, we didn't get to vote on or talk about the motion, but if that's the government's choosing, that's their right to have.
I disagree.
I mean, this has been passed through the Senate. This has been raised by international media organisations. It's appalling.
When we're talking about that particular publication, it is linked to a hate page, and we do not absolutely accept
any of that. They have actually. They have done a pretty good job, I've got to say, at differentiating the two things.
It is absolutely unacceptable.
I think you could definitely say that about. I think you could definitely say that about, you know, about Gummit. You could say that about that page, but to say that about the actual NT Independent, I think, is incorrect. And they've actually shown themselves. You know, look, I'm not somebody usually. I'm not somebody usually who would stand up and defend. Any other media organisation, but
absolutely
for me,
disgusting what
we're talking about.
Hate page, and we don't support that.
We're not talking about the hate page, though. We're talking about the NT Independent, the actual publication. And I also want to point out that I know that when Labor was in opposition, they certainly liked the work of Chris Walsh, the journalist who is in charge, the editor of that publication. So I think that it's a very fine line then to run now between whether you choose to like the work of that person now that you're in government.
And look, I think what's interesting, you know, we've had Facebook shut down media on Facebook over the last week or so. And, you know, one of the government's arguments for not dealing with the NT Independent is that it's not a legitimate media outlet. You often hear the Chief Minister say that. But, of course, they lost their Facebook page. And so, you know,
but also, look, I want to say, and I know that the owner of that page can be very polarising. And I'm not trying to defend anybody here, but what I'm saying is it's a really fine line between picking and choosing, you know, who you will speak to, who you won't speak to. And I think that it's up to everyday Territorians to determine where they get their news
from. We should have at least been able to have the debate. I think what's also telling is we were gagged. I mean, Robin did not even get to say why she was bringing the motion. We didn't get to say why we supported it or not supported it.
We are going to have to leave it there. Thank you all so very much for being part of the week that was this morning. Leah Finocchiaro, Opposition Leader, thank you.
Thanks for having me. Have a great weekend, everyone.
Kezia Pyrick, the member for Goyder, thank you.
Yes, thank you. Happy mowing to rural people. My mower's broken, so can anyone lend me a...
Oh, I'll lend you a mower.
I can lend you a husband.
anyone got a hustler they can lend to me, please? My
and
mower's
Selena
broken.
Rubo, the Attorney General. Thank you.
And looking forward to seeing some of the Jukmin residents who are in their emergency evacuation this weekend.
Thanks all so much for your time this morning. Katie. You're listening to Mix 104.9's 360.